So I got blocked on Facebook the other day. I love your expressions of shock. That means so much to me. To be truthful, it's the second time that I know of that it's happened. And for those of you who don't know what I mean by blocked, I mean a friend on Facebook no longer allows me to contact them, write on their wall, or even like a picture of their sweet children and adorable pets. The friend is my cousin. And come to think of it, the only other time I have been blocked by someone was another cousin. Again, on my mother's side, but from a different family. I could tell you all the reasons why this removal of this relationship is better for my psyche in the end. The first cousin is a climate change denier and would troll my posts just to pick a fight. This most recent blocking cousin didn't like it when I questioned, tersely perhaps, but I know there was a question mark at the end of my statement. She didn't like it when I questioned her facts, her parallels between courage and the male anatomy. You get my picture. It's not like me, I hope you know, to engage in any kind of spat, especially public, like I did with her, but I just wanted to. And when I did, the rush of being right pulsed through my fingertips, and I could not stop writing. I couldn't stop being right or proving my point, and my intellect and her stupidity and my nuance and her simplicity. And then I didn't sleep that night. Elizabeth Alexander shares in her poem titled, I Believe, "Poetry is what you find in the dirt in the corner, over here on the bus, God in the details, the only way to get from here to there. Poetry, and now my voice is rising, is not all love, 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 and I'm sorry the dog died. Poetry, here I hear myself the loudest, is the human voice. And are we not of interest to each other?" I've been stuck on that last line for a while now. Are we not of interest to each other? The last month, in looking at this congregational theme of identity, it's been fun to learn more about one another by way of T-shirt Sunday, or to think about who we are as a collective, always growing, always living. It's been good sacred work because the consideration of our own identity allows nuance and life to be recognized in others. And yet, here I am at the end of the month, still stuck on that question: are we not of interest to each other? Is my own bloodline so flat, so other, so easy to shape into them that I have lost interest? There's an exercise in a UU curriculum on identity called Create Meaning that looks to ask just this. The task is to consider the following headings, and for you to consider them later, they're in your crossings too. The following headings are things found around your childhood home, yard, or neighborhood, names of relatives that link you to your past, sayings you heard growing up, and names of places you keep or kept childhood memories. And then from these four categories, write words or phrases associated with each, which then becomes a poem, each line beginning with the words, I am from. To prepare for this morning, I did this, and so I would like to offer to you what this might sound like. I am from the red-tail hawks that landed on our helmets as we rode through the preserve. I am from the Bell Collection, the Lighthouse Collection, the Einstein figurines, and the rosaries hidden in the drawers. I am from the horse paddock, but also the tennis court, the leotard, but also the hockey sticks. I am from Louise, my bopshi, her only granddaughter, who loved me like salvation in thick Polish arms, bare feet, and the assertion that heaven was for those who were Catholic. I am from the unnamed and unwed Jewish soldier, the man who begins my American story, for it was he and my German-American great-grandmother who begins my mother's family's line. Their baby, my Nana, shuttled in the night in a grocery bag to be raised by her aunt. I am from fewer phrases than fewer consonants. We played Saka and ate dinner. We had a great sense of humor, that family of Long Island humans. I am from live with the person you love before you get married and learn to drive stick shift and everything in moderation, including moderation. I am the treehouse and the house my father and grandfather and godfather built. I am from the treasure chest, the handwritten map, the trinkets we buried in the Montauk sand, and somehow, miraculously, despite erosion and wind, as if time doesn't change everything, as if everything waits, we found again. I am from Laurel, 1 mile to Matatuck, 1 mile to water. I reached out to that cousin who blocked me after she blocked me and asked her to do that I am from exercise. I explained that I had lost interest in her and lost interest in coming to any kind of commonality. And believing that we likely wouldn't come to some shared perspective about the world, and curious of how that happens when we share the same origin stories, when only we could help each other better understand why we are who we are, I had hoped she'd tell me something about more than what I had assumed. Every single part of this reaching out was torturous. I hated the possibility that she might not respond, and that she might. And in hearing back that maybe some part of my heart would open up a bit wider to someone who represented so much of what I think is wrong in the world, and I cringed at the idea that this might mean a longer engagement than sermon fodder, than practicing what I preach. But what I resisted the most was showing again, being faced with again, that inner part of me that just wanted to judge and condemn and place as far from me and my family as I could imagine. Unitarian Universalists' hidden treasure is that we are a people of stories. We love them. We love our own. It is what drives our curiosity and how we find and name the sacred. But over the last few months, if not the last year, replicating decades before in times of stress and despair, the stories of the world, of its people, of our neighbors and friends, of ourselves have flattened. Our interest in one another has become secondary. To fear, quick judgment, a way to know who we are, or a way to sturdy ourselves in being right in relation to the rest of the world. There have been and will continue to be real consequences to the empowerment of particular individuals into world leadership. I am not minimizing the need to know where you stand, and as Daniel Berrigan so clearly demanded, stand there. There is anger and despair, legitimate fear and disbelief, and what has met that anger, despair, and fear is a retaliation of name-calling, justifications, and promises that have created some sense of hope and being seen. And from that, there has been anger and despair, and so it goes. And so it goes into new habits of communicating for the sake of declaring certainty, of driving resolution, and away from the ways of exploration that the body craves and the spirit needs to grow. And lost is our interest in one another, and further we move from what makes possible the human community. Krista Tippett, in her new book, Becoming Wise, writes, Listening is an everyday social art, but it's an art that we have neglected and must learn anew. Listening is more than being quiet while the other person speaks until you can say what you have to say. It is how, she says, young doctors describe what they should practice, generous listening. Powered by curiosity, a virtue we can invite and nurture in ourselves to render it instinctive. It involves a kind of vulnerability, a willingness to be surprised, to let go of assumptions and take in ambiguity. The listener wants to understand the humanity behind the words of the other and patiently, oh goodness, patiently summons one's own best self and one's own best words and questions. Here's my favorite part about this quote. She concludes, "It's not true what they taught us in school. There is such a thing as a bad question." In American life, we trade mostly in answers, competing answers, and in questions that corner, incite, or entertain. In journalism, we have a love affair with the tough question, which is often an assumption masked as an inquiry and looking for a fight. Oh, some of you felt that. Yeah. Yeah. Because we are losing ourselves in a fight that will always take us out of the real work of healing and justice. A fight that will always mean giving up pieces of ourselves that make us real and known and true in the world for the sake of showing just how deeply and universally and unequivocally right we are. There is a cost to winning the argument, especially via Facebook rather than by policy, especially behind the safety of the computer screen or even the signpost rather than by relationship that changes the heart. In a time when a light is finally shining on the intersections of bodies, experiences, of identity, we must fight the temptation of becoming reduced to an argument. Okay, so what you're all wondering, here it is. On Friday night, I heard back from my cousin. And it didn't go in any way that I had hoped. And so, of course, I wanted to correct and fight and teach, but I said thank you. And I went for a walk, and I took a lot of deep breaths. I'm still taking a lot of deep breaths. And I listened. I really tried so hard to listen and to feel about the times she said I was hurtful or wrong. She said she wouldn't do the exercise. But in that, I also learned that I am from a very big family, blood and otherwise, and we will disappoint each other. And no matter how true of a sentiment it is, we are trying to end each correspondence, however disappointing or ugly they may be, with love. Afraid that our inner light will be extinguished or our inner darkness exposed, we hide our true identities from each other, writes Parker Palmer. In the process, we become separated from our own souls. We end up living divided lives, so far removed from the truth that we hold within that we cannot know the integrity that comes from being what you are. May we each learn to listen generously to the teacher within and the companioned by the ample teachers we'd rather avoid. May we ask questions that are stripped of assumption and looking for a fight. And if none of this is possible, not yet or not with some, may we honor the safekeeping of our own souls. For this too is sacred and necessary work. It's not about healing the world by making a huge difference, but about healing the world that touches you, that's around you. May it be so. May we make it so, and blessed be.